Blog Talk Radio.
Yo.
Hi, this is Selena with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your piece. Now, our host, Selena.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm hoping everyone is having a great day. I sure am. I want to get started by saying I want to welcome everybody who's listening in to Say Your Piece, which we come on every Saturday around 10. I want to say that I'm waiting for my host, my co-host, to call in. He hasn't called in yet. But once he calls in, we'll be ready to roll. In the meantime, I just got some real sad news. So if I am not as passionate tonight as I usually am, my hyper self, please forgive me. A good friend of mine passed away, and I just got the news. It's just like a shock. Here we go. Yes, you there?
I'm here.
Hello? Okay.
Finally.
I was just telling my listeners that I just lost a pretty good friend, a real good friend, Bishop Jackson. When I'm working at the radio station, I used to be one of his producers, and a real good guy, real good guy. And he just passed away. Tanya just told me he passed away. So I was just telling him his name is Bishop Milton Jackson.
Okay, okay.
He had a show come on 88.1 on Saturday mornings.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of sad in a sense because he really was a real good guy. I mean, really good guy. Whew. But anyway, we're going to have a great show tonight. I'm going to try to stay in the mindset. And tonight we were talking about, first of all, let's give out the numbers 347-677-1749. And tonight our show is going to be, we're going to be talking about community issues, which turns into state and local issues. We'll be touching on some points like crime, education, raising productive member of society, basically kind of hitting on some parenting skills. Okay. I want to start this off. How are you doing tonight, Brian? I'm sorry.
I'm good, Selena. Doing very good. You kind of faded out. I want to make sure we get that number again. 347-677-1749.
Okay. Yes. Good. That's it. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
It's good. It's good. Everything's good.
Okay. I wanted to kind of start the conversation off about talking about crime. And what I did was I went to the FBI website. And according to the Uniform Crime Report, which they gather information, which what happens is police stations, law enforcement agencies from all over the nation voluntarily give this information. And they compile it and put it on the website. It says throughout the nation, there has been a decrease of 4% in number of violent crimes, which, you know, me and you were talking about that in the Alexandria Weekly. The crime rate is down, which this kind of confirms that. But we're still hiring more police.
Right.
It says in numbers of violent crimes brought to the attention for the 2011 compared to the figures for 2010. But this what it includes the murders, forcible rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. What does that mean to us if the crime rate is down? What does that mean? So what should we be focusing on now that we have the crime rate at a point where we're not having to buy guns by the dozens and, you know, lock and load all the time? Because that's basically what it used to be like. So what do we do with this now that we know we have something positive? Is that because all our African-American males are locked up, or is it because the crime is not, even though in a time of economic downfall, we're still, this is really a bright star in the midst of everything that's going on. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Because we're no longer having the problem with crime, so should we focus on something else now that we've kind of got the crime rate, you know, to a minimum or to 4% down? I mean, should we be focusing on other things?
Well, I would have to say on that regardless of whether the count, I mean, it's good that the crime rate is down. Let me say that first of all. But whether it was down or not, we have to, in this day and time, as a community of people, we have to be multitask. We have to be able to multitask because we have so far to go, and we don't have any time to waste that we need to be able to work on the crime rate. We need to work on the family, keeping the family.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this entire, I think not only do we need to keep the family together, we need to teach the family how to come together. And when I say that is, we, you know, it's one thing that we don't teach. We don't even teach the importance of marriage, a unity, of what it does, the given skills and statistics on the chances of families surviving, not being in a, not being poor, versus at least being above poor to middle class and possibly beyond. Those type of things we don't even talk about, you know, that, you know, some people, well, I don't want to be tied down. You know, and nobody talks to you about the advantages of being married.
Well, you know what? I can kind of understand that because lots of people don't. I don't think God wants everybody to be married. I think they had to because according to what the Bible says, there were single people that were in the Bible that had productive and very professional roles that they played in the Bible, and they were not married. Paul was not married. As a matter of fact, Paul was divorced in the Bible. So I don't think everybody wants to be married. I think people get lonely because it's a human thing, but I don't think everybody wants to be married. I really believe that.
I know, I can agree that everybody doesn't want to be married. But on the other hand, I will say a lot of them should be married. And I said that to say that you got so many that are doing everything that a marriage does, with, but they don't have the papers. They say, well, don't take papers
to
marriage. Well, in a sense, a lot of people don't do it because they claim it's a, they don't have to commit. They do their, I have mine, you have yours, but we're going to share in the, what shall I say, the expenses. Well, I have my thoughts on that is that if you're going to go to the rodeo, why not go on ahead and, you know, do the full-fledged ride the horse? It's, you want to play it, and you don't teach the younger ones that any commitment. You teach them to really stray away from committing if you do nothing that will help them, you know what I mean? Do nothing that will show them as far as what family is all about. And that's not saying that a single parent cannot raise a child. It's been done many times. I've seen it done many times. I've seen the children grow up successfully. I've seen the children in a two-parent household grow up, I guess you would say, once they get up, unsuccessfully. But because of this day and time that we live in, odds are that you're better off with two parents. Reason being, one has to work. Possibility that the other one can't, can make, do something that the other one can't. When you fall on, can't fall on one, you can fall on others. So, in other words, you got two to count on instead of one. Just, it's just a numbers game. And it just, to me, shows that it can bleed off into the community. Then, as bleeding off into the community, you're showing how to raise the community from a family then to a whole community as a whole. You're going to have single people. You're going to have married people. You're going to have older people. You're going to have younger people. But it shows if the family starts at a certain nucleus and grows out. But until we start taking that and capitalizing on it, then what has happened is we're fragmented. And if we're fragmented, what happens is what we've been seeing in the past. And let's take this lead. It's actually been bred in us. You know, people don't believe it, but there's actually considered an art of breeding. There is an art of breeding. Oh, you can't breed humans. Oh, yes, you can.
You can.
And the reason I say that is that if I instill in you, there are things I can instill in you that you may do that ends up carrying over to your offspring, and then it becomes generational. Then it goes from a decade, it goes to 50 years, it goes to 80 years, then it goes to 100 years. You know, and I go back to if I teach you that you don't, I'm not going to allow you to marry when you wanted to. I'm breeding you. You my buck. I'm going to breed you to whoever I want to breed you to. You don't commit to them. You father children. You don't even get a chance to even really know them because you got to move on to the next one. And it's been proven that this thing carries over. Now, you say, well, they've been taught better. Yeah, they've been taught better, but now they have to still have to be programmed to a sense because it has not stopped. Because I still basically remember we were just let out in the pasture. You wasn't shown a better way. You weren't given a better way. You were just, I was breeding you one day. The next day I said, by the way, tomorrow you're free. But I've been used to doing this all my life. Then guess what? Generation through generation through generation, I'm still doing it, whether I'm conscious of it or not.
You're right about that. I was looking at the divorce statistics, and according to divorcestatistics.info, it says that not only has the divorce rates have increased, so has infidelity. So that, if everybody knows what infidelity is, it's cheating. So to balance that out, I don't know if you can to balance that out because that's what the report is saying, that both of them have increased in the last 25 years. So that should tell you more people rather. But see, what I don't understand is this
that
is
the
what
divorce
I don't understand,
rate is up?
That the divorce rate has increased tremendously, both that and infidelity. So they both went up. My thing is, if I am not happy in a situation and I need to get out of it, and I know right then and there I can't. I have to plan myself together, put myself together and plan it. I'm going to eventually walk away. There is no way God told us to stay with somebody if we're so unhappy. He never tells us that. I never read that in the Bible where he says stay with somebody if you're unhappy. If a person doesn't want to voluntarily, you can't make a person change, but if they do not want to voluntarily change that's going to be positive and help the family grow, then you need to let that person go. It's no need to hold on to dead weight. And if I feel that you're dead weight in my life and you're not being productive, I have no need for you. That's the whole point. And it's hard to get women and it's hard to get men to understand that you stand for the children. What does staying for the children mean? That means nothing. That means nothing because you're still going to be the mother, you're still going to be the father of those children, whether you're there or not. Now, the child has to adjust, and that's when you get the child prepared for that. And lots of kids don't handle divorce very well. But if you get them, if you be more proactive and be prepared for it, then you know, okay, baby, this is what's getting ready to happen. It's not your fault, da-da-da-da-da. Get them prepared that mom and dad is not going to be together. I don't care what nobody's saying. Many couple has done it, stayed until the kids get grown. That is so ridiculous. That is so crazy. I don't understand. I'm not staying with nobody if I'm unhappy, period. Never will. No matter what, no kid or nothing. I don't understand that. The child has still got to live. They got to be taken care of. They still have to function. And you have to be there for that child, regardless of that one parent being gone or not. You still have to be there for that child. What if the parent dies? It's almost the same thing. If that parent passes away, he's not in the life or she's not in the child's life anymore. You know, I mean, well, you can't say anymore because then you have in divorces, you have the visitation, the custody and all that you have to deal with. But you prepare your child for that. But people stay with people when they're so miserable. I can't understand that. And then you complain about it. If you're not happy, get out of it. Or take a break from each other. I'm not going to live with nobody and be married to somebody that makes me miserable. And I'm sick. I go to work every day. I'm depressed at work. My work, I'm not doing good at work. And I come home, I'm not doing good at home. Where do I come in? Where do I start taking care of me? And then when you're affected, then the child is affected. See, we don't look at it like that. The child's environment is affected by you not being happy.
Well, so later, suppose it becomes an economic issue, though.
That's relevant because you know what? If you about God's business and you know God is going to take, he took you through the marriage. What makes you think he's going to stop taking care of you when it comes from when it comes to the economic problem, when it comes to you got actually separating?
Job paying me $80,000 a year. My wife could have a job maybe paying her about $26,000 a year. So technically both of us are working. We decide to separate, and her lifestyle is going to drastically change. We have one child. I may have to pay a little child support, but it takes money to take care of the child. It's not free money. So I'm used to my security where I had this $80,000 a year income along with mine. We're making over $100,000 together, and I'm feeling more comfortable. So I'm very, very scared. If I step out on my own, I'm going to be in an area that I don't want to be in. So I'm
You know what? You know what? You said it. You don't want to be in. So what do you do? What do you do?
So I'm thinking about staying.
Not staying. What do you do to fix the problem? There's a problem. That's why somebody wants to leave. What do you do?
Well, I guess I have to work on the marriage.
Okay. That. There we go. That's what I wanted you to say. You have to. But when you let finances, see, this is another thing. You're saying some stuff. When you allow finances to control the marriage, then don't even work at it.
Wow.
Did you hear what I said?
Uh-huh.
If you allow finances to control the marriage, why work on it?
Hmm. Well, I didn't think it was going to control the marriage, but it just ended up that way. I would have rather for it to be another way, but it just so happened it didn't happen that way.
So it says for richer or for poor, you're with that person, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's saying, I just took that to be if we both fall on hard times. Not if one of us go on hard times.
All right.
Playing an advocate here. I understand exactly what you're saying. That
why would you let a marriage be controlled by money? And that's how we live. That's how our marriages are set up. That's why there's so many vicious divorces. That's why them basketball players and them football players go through hell. Because guess what? I married him because I know he makes $1 million a year.
Uh-huh.
Without a doubt.
You're right.
Okay. They didn't know him prior to him playing football in high school, college. They
didn't know him at all.
They didn't know him at all. They didn't know he existed until he got up there. That goes for that goes for the average Joe. The average Joe have money. But I always say, and this is just me, if I'm unhappy, then nobody's happy. Because my unhappiness affects everybody around me. So in order for me to be happy, I'm going to get out of a situation, point blank. That's just me. I might have to get out of it temporarily. Don't necessarily mean that it's over, but I might need some time away from you. Period. Give me that. Because so when I do come back, you'll realize what you missed.
Right, and right. Well, you think the grass is green, you'll find out that it's
actually. You'll find out the grass is not greener. And the money money is not even part of it. The money is not part of it for me. If it was me, the money's not part of it for me. My peace of mind is much more important, a lot more important than anything else. So I understand, but see, that's why women and men, and they say it all the time, should prepare themselves for, not to say that you're looking, going into a marriage to see that it falls apart, but things happen. People change. You need to be prepared for that change, regardless. You need to be prepared for that change. And if you don't prepare yourself for change, then guess what? You're stuck in an unhappy marriage. He's fooling around, you're fooling around, but every day y'all come to the same house, you sit at the same dinner table, nobody's speaking to each other, there's no communication, the kids are looking crazy, they go to school depressed because they come home to a depressed house when nobody's talking to each other, and when they talk, they're cursing and hollering and fighting each other. There's no good conversation. Come on. So what's benefiting the kids with you staying together with somebody that you no longer love? Huh?
True. That's true. So basically what you're saying is that
when we're talking about saving the family, is we have to save the family mentally.
I can't hear you.
We have to save the family mentally.
You start with the mental part of save. That's right. Mentally and emotionally, you start
right
there. Because those are the two things that are going to affect that child. See, when we get into these situations, the kid is not important at that time. The kid only becomes important after the separation and the divorce. That's when the kids become an important part of the relationship. All through the relationship, they not to say that they weren't important. I'm saying when it comes to you guys not getting along. They weren't important then. But when it comes down to us making decisions, you're walking away, she's walking away, we're going to go our separate, then the kids become a concern. You didn't think about that when you were standing up there fighting and cussing and acting a fool in front of them.
Right.
Okay, you didn't think that wasn't important then. But after the fact, now the child is important. You don't know how much you're affecting him or her. Okay, you didn't think about that when going through the drama when we were fighting and cussing. And that's what makes me mad about couples. If you're not happy with each other, at least sit down and say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. Let me take a break from you. Everything will stay the same, but just let me take a break. Oh, you want to go stay with somebody. You want to. No, lots of times people don't want to stay with nobody. They just want to break away from you. Want some quiet time. And they deserve that. Let them grab their senses and put themselves together and then come back. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't do that. Oh, that's a sin if you divorce. Oh, that's a sin to get away from somebody. If that person is making me literally sick, I'm out of there. If I can't function on a day-to-day, oh, that's crazy to be with somebody where you can't function. You just that depressed. You don't want to get up and go to work. You don't want to deal with your friends. You don't want to talk to nobody. And you're being unproductive at work. And you want to be with that person? Please.
You end up with more health problems worrying.
Yeah. So
I'm not just talking about a mental health problem. It can work on your physical.
It can work on you physically. Stress kills. They say that all the time. Stress kills.
So how do we bring that around when we connect that with a community?
Well, because like you said, a community is a family.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there has to be a positivity part to connect that family. It has to be, everybody has to be connecting in some shape, form, or fashion. That's how that comes back around, that it needs to be where everybody is connecting, a happy community.
So it has to be some kind of cohesiveness.
Exactly. Exactly. In your home first before you take it to the community. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It has to be some type of cohesiveness in your family. Necessarily, doesn't necessarily have to be the husband and wife. It could be a single parent or, you know, grandmother, because you got grandmothers who raise families
right.
to take over the family. So it just, everybody has to be able to gel. You have to. You have no other choice if you call yourself a community. Because divide and conquer is useless.
Now,
you know?
So we go from the marriage, bringing the community together. Now, how does education play into that?
Okay. Teaching. Education has a lot to do with it simply because as a community, your public schools are part of the community. Am I right?
Right.
Make sure that your kids are getting a good education so that they can become productive members of society comes back to the education.
Well, my problem is I have problems with the schools
okay.
in my area. They're,
okay.
they're failing
okay.
grade-wise. I'm trying to figure out what I should do, and my child is set to go to this failing school, and I really would prefer my child going to a better school.
Okay, what do you call in failing school? What are you saying?
Well, they got a point system. That school is making a D plus. It's below
oh,
average.
So they're
progress of the children in the school.
Okay. So that means that school falls up under that new bill, 976.
In Louisiana,
yeah.
it would, huh?
yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying. In Louisiana, it'll fall up under the bill 976, Senate bill 976. Which is the bill that says it's considered their recovery school. It's a recovery program where the kids go, the schools that are making D's and F's ratings, they go into this program for 3 years. And as long as they're in that program for 3 years, they can't come out no matter what they do. They can't come out until those 3 years are up. And what they're telling the parents is, the kids can't come out of those schools unless they have a petition signed. And then they have to make sure the governing board, because it's no longer Board of Education, it's a governing board, makes a decision whether or not those petitions are valid. So they have a decision whether or not they take your kid out to school because you want to. So that's a control thing. That's
so,
what the bill,
in other words,
bill,
part of what the system is controlling the people, in a sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, so to me, part of this thing about family and community, it seems like it's stemming that somebody needs to get politically active with the school board.
Well, yeah, and you know,
isn't that part of a community?
Yes, you're right. The community comes together and makes a difference. And, you know, that's so – I'm glad you said that because I don't know if I was – no, I was talking on my other radio show yesterday, and we were talking to a young lady who wrote a book, and she lives in Washington, D.C. And I was telling her I remember a time when my mom in the community that we lived in, the neighborhoods that we lived in, all the people got together, and we went to Washington, D.C. to protest against daycares that at the time Nixon was in office. He started shutting down and taking away the programs that were going, like we had Camp Opportunity, we had Summer Mothers, and then we had daycares. He pulled all those programs out of the low-income communities. So we went to Washington, D.C. It was, ooh, Lord have mercy, I don't know how many people it was. But it was a whole bunch of us got on a whole bunch of buses, and we went and we protested in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
For the community. That was a community.
Right.
That was all of us together. And that was back in the 70s. I just remember
band
doing it.
Together to do this, though.
Exactly, and you don't have that anymore. My mom was much into activism. My mom was hot into that. I don't know why. I guess that's where I get it from to a certain extent, because she was really into that. I mean, really. She's changed a lot, you know, since she's gotten older, but she was really into that.
Well, suppose, you know, we have some that we're supposed to do in the community, but I'm just too busy. You know, I got the ball game for the kids. I got to come home and cook, you know, and then my husband working an extra job. And we just don't have time for stuff like that. I know other people should be able to do it because we just don't have the time. And we got to get clothes ready for the next day.
Okay, but that's fine. So what you can do is you can donate. You don't have to go. Donate something. If you think somebody, donate a ring of paper for flyers. Donate some pens and pencils. Donate a box of water or a thing of water, some sodas to the people who are actually working. Fix them dinner. You're fixing your family dinner. Send some sandwiches over. It don't take long to make a peanut butter and jelly or a ham sandwich. It don't take that long. They don't cost that much.
So
send some sandwiches over.
I want to find out where you can fit in to
exactly,
help.
Exactly.
Progress.
You can be behind the scenes.
Right.
You know,
and I think that's so important. A lot of times we come with excuses why we can't do anything, but as soon as it hit us, I saw it happen years ago when I was fresh out of high school. I was one of my teachers talked me into joining the local NAACP, and we would watch people. You try to get them to join, they wouldn't join, but as soon as they get bitten, they come running to you. The same people that turned you down.
Yes,
need to help, and we had a president at the time. He just wouldn't turn anybody down, and irregardless of them turning him down, he would help them. That's just the kind of person he was. And but they would not take the. When they got their problem solved, you never saw them again.
Uh-huh.
And it used to burn me up that people were like that. When he ran for office, public office, the same people wouldn't support him. But they wouldn't go, the people that they supported to run for public office, they couldn't ask them for anything. I mean, you actually saw this, you know. And you wonder sometimes, you know, they want to go with the popular person that's approved by the powers that be at the time versus the person they consider the rebel or the person they consider the militant who they want to run to when they need help. But they're not accepted.
But they don't trust them enough to run something. I know.
Well,
I know
not that they don't trust them because that's who they went to, but they're not accepted by the power structure, so they don't support.
Well, they don't fall in with the big crew, the main big crew.
They're going to be considered a troublemaker. And,
well,
you
know
have
what?
That now, and my thing is, how can our community prosper? How can our community go forward? When we got those who are worried about what other people think about who we have up speaking for us and standing up for us, because they're saying the cameras may be on, they may not look presidential. Who cares?
Yes. Well, because you know
in
why?
Our community.
Because the average, the way society has it formed, because it's not just here, society has it formed that he has to be handsome, he has to be well fit. He has to be educated, and he has to be appealable to the people. If he's not appealable in any of those factions, then nobody wants to deal with him. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. So he has to appeal. He has to – the eye, even though we don't want to admit it, but the eye – is the reason why things happen is because we see things. We are seeing people. We're visual people. And we want to see somebody who has that appeal to look at, who has that a way about them. He's a crowd pleaser. He can walk in a crowd and everybody just, you know, he's the one. Even though he's dirty, he's crooked, he's doing a whole bunch of dirty stuff, but he has that appeal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you have that appeal, so...
And he's already been bought. Okay? He's already been bought and sold.
And paid for.
So and paid for us. And, you know, that's what we want. I don't care what you say. Yeah, you might be good on this, but that's what we want. And that mindset is what's killing our people to this day. That mindset, that because you don't have the education, you're not supposed to be intelligent, You know, there's so many self-made men, millionaires, and educated people. And I'm not saying educated by book-wise. I'm talking about educated by learning in life and teaching themselves how to do stuff. They didn't go to any schools. But there's so many of them out there, but, you know, they don't. You won't see them.
No.
Because guess what?
They're
not educated. They don't have those titles behind them. You know, titles, for some reason, and I don't understand about our people, they're so caught up in titles. Your respect is due to you for what you've done, yes, but your title should not define you. Your title is just something you earned. Now, if you can't back up your title and you can't live with, I mean, by your title, it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. But we get so caught up in titles and we see the title and we don't see the person. We see what they have. And that's really what hurts us.
Are you talking about material things?
Materialistically, society-wise, community-wise, friendship-wise, the whole thing. We do not know how to come together. And don't look at that in a person and just look at what that person can do.
Well,
can that person be effective in our community?
But I have a problem with that because, see, I mean, yeah, I like the way this guy talks. Don't get me wrong. But he may be able to lead our community. But, you see, I'm a Christian. And he's a Muslim. And we ain't supposed to get along. Now, I don't know who told us that. But we ain't supposed to get along. So I don't know if I should be, you know. And they're not going to really accept him. Because, you know, they figure they all had something to do with 9/11. So, you know, some other people are not going to accept him.
So what are you
him.
Saying? So you're saying ignorance takes precedence over common sense. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Most of the time.
Okay.
In this society, especially in this plantation we live in Louisiana.
Okay, again, that's why I say, again, changing the mindset is the hardest thing that you can do when you're dealing with a community that has that mindset.
But we
changing
have to,
mindset.
In other words, we have, it's a re-education.
Exactly.
Like
it's
Carter,
a re-education.
Miseducated.
Yes.
He called it
miseducation.
Because of the Negro.
Yeah. And it's scary.
It works against
But you
us.
Know what? It's so crazy that it's scary because if you look at other communities and other cities and you look at other states, how these people are constantly protesting and marching and voicing their opinions. They're coming together by thousands and thousands. And we sit here. We don't go to the state capitol. We don't do anything. We just sit here. We worried about our jobs because we allow us to become puppets on strings. And if they pull the string, oh, my God, my whole life. We depend too much on somebody else to make us feel important. You understand what I'm saying?
And the last time I remember a mass number of people going to New Orleans, going to Baton Rouge here in Louisiana to march on the Capitol was against Governor Mike Foster.
Uh-huh.
When he took office. I'm trying to remember what was the reason. The NAACP called for a march. It was, I mean, people come from all over the state.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was Foster was coming in to do some layoffs, I believe. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was.
What
but
year was that?
So massive that the people actually went, because I even went. And,
what year was
we
that?
Went and because it was such a massive ordeal that was going on. But we are such a reactive people.
Yeah,
it's
because
like we don't know what proactive means. You know,
we don't get
a cavity, right? Don't wait to have to get the cavity to start brushing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But we
want to
wait till things happen before we do anything when we know it's the handwriting on the wall that's going to happen. And we still don't react.
Well, not only that, we're waiting for that person I described to you earlier to say something. Because you know what? We don't have a mind of our own. We're waiting for that person that we want, that I described earlier. We want that person to tell us what to do.
Well, we want support.
We want that person to tell us how we should act and how we should do things.
Uh-huh.
Okay, again, it goes back to, and I don't want to get into the racist thing, but that slave mentality. Master has to tell us when to get up in the morning, when to cook, when to clean, when we can go to bed, when we can make love to our husbands and our wives. That's what we need. We need somebody to tell us each and every day how to do this. That slave mentality and the fear that I can't say this because you know what, I might lose my job. Okay.
And it's so real.
So that's what holds us back. Because you know what, I'm not saying everybody is satisfied with what's going on. Everybody has their opinion, you know, and how they, but nobody's doing anything. You know, and I say this, I was talking to somebody and I was telling them, if you noticed how many conservative radio talk shows have popped up since President Obama has been in office. There are thousands of them have popped up since President Obama has been in office. They weren't there before.
No.
But they're there now. So they've made a way to get their voice out there, to say what they want. But what do we do? I'm not saying everybody hasn't done it, but I'm saying we haven't done it.
We have very few.
Because you know what? If I say anything, it's going to affect everything else I do. I mean, that's what's said. It's going to affect everything else I do. Because I have an opinion about what's going on in my world that's affecting my world, that eventually if I don't pay attention to it enough or teach other people about it, it's going to affect me directly. We don't see it like that.
No, that's true. I think if we truly look at the educational side, if we look at the community side, and we look at the family part of it,
mm-hmm.
all of these are pieces of the pie which
mm-hmm.
makes a people whole.
Mm-hmm.
And the family could be one person, it could be two, it could be four, it could be ten.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you have these elements working properly,
mm-hmm.
then we're going to be in trouble, especially if you're in areas that have slave mentalities. Louisiana,
yep.
Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas. Who am I missing? Parts of Texas,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma. A lot of these areas are, and especially in the Deep South, that's running
mm-hmm.
from probably Florida all the way over to Texas,
mm-hmm.
especially hooking Louisiana, Mississippi up with it.
Mm-hmm.
We have the mentality that people have in these areas. First of all, they don't pay you a livable wage.
Mm-hmm.
You have laws that pass that holds restraints
mm-hmm.
on you that we can fire at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been wanting to say that we have to start learning what we need to do to become independent.
Yeah.
Because
if we don't,
I think that's that little missing part to the puzzle, is that
mm-hmm.
if we don't learn to become independent, then we're always dependent on someone.
Yes, somebody else. Yeah.
And to be dependent on someone, then they always control you.
Exactly. They always have control over you.
I mean,
if I'm going
to you every day, I've been going to you for the last 10 years for this job.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be the best person for the job. You may do a superb, you're superb on your job.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can match you. But
mm-hmm.
yet you still have a boss. You go out there speaking and talking loud, saying what you believe in because you stand up for what's right for your black family.
Mm-hmm.
Your boss get a phone call. Don't Charlie work for you, Ed? Yeah, he's a good fellow. Well, do you know he was down here protesting
mm-hmm.
against
yeah.
this thing we're trying to pass, tax we're trying to pass?
Yeah.
We don't appreciate
it. Oh, yeah.
We'd like you to tell him, he needs to pipe it down.
Yeah,
out of the,
pipe
you
it
know.
Down just a little bit. Bring it down some.
He comes back. He tells them, look, you can't do this. You're going to hurt our business, and then if you do that, we're going to have to let you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
he going to do this? He's going to get quiet. Because he got a wife. He got three children, a house note, car note. He got, you know, he needs to pay his tithes at church. He got groceries to buy, you know. He got clothes for the children he needs to get. So what we have to start learning to do is we have to not only become independent, we have to start teaching our children to be independent. Should have been teaching it, but now more so than ever.
Yeah, but, because the way you look at the job market, I mean, it's getting better, but it's not in a sense. And that's why we go back to education, and we go back into the education factor. Yeah, you can make so much money with your high school diploma, but you need more than that.
Right.
You know, you stand along with the teenagers. You're a grown man, got a family, and you flipping burgers like the teenagers do.
Exactly.
So you know what I'm saying? Because you didn't take time out, and you had the opportunity to go back to school. There was nothing stopping you before you got married, and you decided not to go and get, you know, your education. I'm not saying everybody's not going to make it if they don't, but today's society is telling you you need that in order, unless you're working for yourself.
Right.
You have a hell of a lot of self-made millionaires that didn't have that high school diploma. But if you're expecting to work in society and be part of society as far as working in the corporate, in the private, in the government, federal sector, you have to have that degree. They're looking for that degree. And if you don't, you might get a job with them, but guess what? It's going to be hard for you to be promoted.
Hard to be promoted and hard for you to make a decent pay.
Yep, make a decent pay. Because I know now, I was I used to be with the union, AFGE, at the VA hospital, and I still get emails from them, from AFGE, from time to time, and they were saying how they're trying to put a freeze, if they haven't already put a freeze on pay. That means, guess what? You don't get no more than what you can keep moving up, but you're not, your pay is froze. You're not going to go anywhere with your pay.
Wow.
So if you're looking for more money, a raise or whatever, you can hang that up. I mean, those are the things we have to look at, and whether or not you want to continue to work for somebody. And if you do work for somebody, it's nothing wrong with it. Please don't get us wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it, but it's nothing like having your own thing. Have a side hustle if you have to. Nothing wrong with a side hustle.
Right. I mean, it like a part-time home-based business is a good start for anyone to be able to work their job.
That's right.
Still, for what business is.
Yep.
And there's so many things these days you can do at home. And and there's a tax advantage to it.
Yep.
That so many people are not taking advantage of, especially in the black community.
Nope.
Miss out. We're so scared that we're going to fail. Well, when a person try to ride a bike, they're scared they're going to fall. But eventually they get on and they go for it. Sometimes they fall. Guess what? You get up, you dust yourself off, you keep going. It's called life, but you can't stop because of a hole in the road. You got to learn how to cope with that hole. You either got to go around and around it to the left, around it to the right, or you build a bridge and go over it. One of the two. Thing is, we don't want to go in it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people kind of shy back from coming out, shy back from going forward with a dream that they may have because they have a fear. And the biggest fear is they have never been educated. And I think that's one of the downfalls of the system, and I think it's not by chance, it's by design, that we haven't been taught the art of business. We haven't been taught the art of business. Why?
Yeah.
In this so-called free society we live in, why isn't it in the curriculum to teach the art of business? Because our school system is not set upon you being an independent business owner. Our school system is set upon you being a independent person only in the mind of I just say only in fiction. You're truly not independent. Anytime you're depending on a check from someone, and some of us have to because depending on what we do for a living.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Some of us don't have to. A lot of us don't have to. And then those of us who don't, and those of us who can support those who don't, could hire more of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big things. We talk about the community coming together. You know,
that's
we talk about
doing
things. We have such a lack of support for each other.
From each other, yeah. Well,
and I call it a form of hate, self-hate.
Yeah, so yeah. We don't want to. In that crab in the barrel mentality, we say it all the time because lots of people feel offended by that phrase. But it's the truth because that's what we do because you know why? We've been taught to be that way. And subconsciously, see, sometimes we don't realize we're being taught that subconsciously. We've been taught to feel that way about each other. How in the world should I be happy for you when I'm not being successful? I need to be equal with you. I need to be in competition with you because life is competitive. You know, you have to do better than the next person in somebody's mindset somewhere. But I don't, me personally, I don't think you have to be competitive because you know what? I don't like the same things you do. I don't do the same things you do. What I want to do with my business is not the same as what you're doing with your business. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be successful in the way that you think that I'm going to be successful in the way that you think I shouldn't be successful in. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you're doing good, that means that eventually if you're doing good and you're a kind-hearted person, everybody around you is going to do good, right?
Right.
So
and
you don't need the crab in the barrel mentality anymore.
You know, I think if we look at it like it should be looked at, I take for example, let's say I have my snow cone stand is over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm three blocks away from you, but there's another snow cone stand owned by someone that lives in the other part of town.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a half a block from me. So you're three or four blocks from me.
Mm-hmm.
I should take it upon myself to go to three or four blocks to support my own.
Mm-hmm.
Because the money will stay in the community longer than it will be the one that's taking it right out that same day and taking it to their community.
Yeah, well, that's amazing that you say that. Because, I mean, that's what you call free enterprise. Free marketing. I can go wherever I want to shop. I don't have to shop in my community. That's my money. If I want to shop and make somebody else rich in their communities and they live in their mansions and I work hard, I scrub toilets, and I can take my money and go somewhere else when my community has the same setup, my neighborhood has the same setup, they have stores that I should go to. I'm not talking about liquor stores to buy my beer. I'm talking about stores that I can buy stuff for my family in. Then why should I? I spend my money where I want to. Why should you tell me where I should spend my money?
Well, my thing is I'm telling, or shall I say encouraging you to spend your money because when you spend enough of us spend our money with a black-owned business, we then can look at that business. That means that they're going to have an influx of customers. An influx of customers then would cause that business to look at hiring some more.
You know what? That's not important because it's not about all of that. It's about me taking care of my family. If I find prices cheaper over there, I'm not gonna buy nothing from that end over there.
Well,
you know,
it bleeds just like it. You can take it just like a child, for example. If my daughter was selling something simple, frozen cups. That's little cups of Kool-Aid they freeze up in a little cup. They make a little money off it.
Uh-huh.
The neighbor was selling right next door to me frozen cups. But my daughter was selling hers for a dollar, and they were selling theirs for 75 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I could save myself a quarter by going right next door to the neighbor's versus my own. But I'm going to support my own daughter because, what, she's mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shouldn't we look upon our family the same way?
That's one of me. That's mine. That's not saying I don't like the neighbor next door. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't say that I don't, you know, I'm not friendly with them, and, you know, if they need a helping hand, I may give them a helping hand. But when
mm-hmm.
it came to support and I only can buy one cup, frozen cup, I'm going to have to go with my daughter because she's part of me.
Mm-hmm.
My black family is part of me. So when they're selling a loaf of bread, and that loaf of bread might cost me $2.25,
mm-hmm.
and I could have bought the one for $1.85, I think it's important that I go
myself and support my brother for a few pennies. Because odds are you're going to blow the pennies on something that you didn't need anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If I put enough people come in with the same mindset that I have,
mm-hmm.
then guess what? It's going to cause my brother's place to have to hire somebody. And more
mm-hmm.
than likely, he's going to hire somebody that looks like him. Because they're going to be the main ones applying for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So what we said
yeah.
is we should support to help that dollar circulate in our community longer than what it is. We have
yeah, because it doesn't stay in the community long at all. It doesn't.
At all. It goes right in and out.
And we understand that. I understand. I can't speak for you, but I can say for myself. We understand we can't build Walmarts in our neighborhood. We know we can't build Macy's and JCPenney's and Target's in our neighborhood. But the stores that come in, like small clothing stores, grocery stores, where do you have you seen, and I know back in the day, I remember back in the day, we had a grocery store on every corner. Not a liquor store, but a literally grocery store back in the day. You don't see grocery stores nowhere anymore. What is the deal? You never can walk into a store that you have your butcher shop, your butcher area, then you have your groceries, you know, just like a regular grocery store. You don't see that in the neighborhoods. Why?
Well,
lots of people don't have transportation. You know, transportation is not a big thing here. It's supposed to be, but it's not. They don't have transportation. You have to get on the bus to go everywhere. So that means I have to lug all my groceries on the bus, off the bus. If the bus is full, I got to stand up with my groceries. Now, don't keep in mind, I got my baby with me, so I got to have my baby with me. And I'm trying to get back and forth to where I need to go. I'm not grasping that concept. So why wouldn't you want to support your community? You understand what I'm saying? If a
right,
store would
right.
come in there, why wouldn't you want to support? So all I got to do is walk down the street, take my little cart, go down the street, buy my groceries, and come home. That's the way it used to be. What happened?
I
what
think
happened?
The neighborhood is being stripped because we know that Black Americans are probably the largest consumer here in the States for sure. And we know especially our communities here in the Louisiana, that a lot of stores just don't locate. Now we can say, well, you know, they should. Well, now we're begging someone to come locate in our community.
Yeah, now.
Now we're begging somebody else to say, y'all come locate. Well, what's stopping us from coming together and locating in our own community? But the part of it was is that we remember we had these type stores.
Yeah, we sure.
Owned
yeah.
by our own. And they start falling
yep.
by the wayside. Well, they were there for a few generations, so why now they start falling by the wayside? Because you would not support them.
Yeah.
What you did was, you went over because they both were selling bagged ice. They both had the same company they were buying the ice from with the refrigerator unit sitting outside.
Mm-hmm.
But you happen to think that Mr. Charlie's ice was just a little bit cold.
Mm-hmm.
They were both identical prices.
Mm-hmm.
And you stayed there with him until time just everything ran out.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, what we have to do, we got to get back to the basics. I don't know, you know, it's like we're so content and we just get so caught up in this TV thing and we don't take the good of it and move forward. We don't take things that really mean to us. we live in a fantasy land. All we're worried about is big cars and rims.
Yeah.
A lot of us, you know.
Well, you know, well, I think a lot of us have allowed society to push you have to have this, 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 this in our face. Because, you know, we're consumers. So what you see on TV, commercials on TV, the fine cars, the beautiful women, the nice clothes, you know, you see all that always bombarding your mind. And, you know, we're easily to be deceived. I mean, that's just how we are. So we get up caught up in all that. So then I'm in the doggone competition with seeing what you got so I can get it. Oh, you got a nice big house, I'm going to get a bigger house. Oh, you got a nice big car, I'm going to get a big car. And we find ourselves, and I'm in debt. I can't even afford to barely put groceries in my refrigerator for my kids. But guess what? They're going to be wearing the finest clothes. I'm going to be wearing the finest clothes. And my house is going to be the finest, everything in it. My mortgage is off the chain, but I'm struggling to make sure I pay my mortgage because, you know what, I got to be better than you, okay? Despite what you think, I got to be better than you.
Right.
I think that's so much a waste of time and money. You could put your money somewhere else. But I've never been a materialistic person. That's never been who I am. That's just not something I was into. I like nice things, but I'm not materialistic.
Right.
I don't go that route. But I'm not a plain Jane either. I like unusual, nice stuff. I just don't think that I have to take my money and spend it on it. And I'm broke all the time. I just don't.
Let's
grasp that concept.
Let's make sure we do again. Give out that number for.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've been talking so long. You know, we're down to 28 minutes. We had a guest. And I didn't get a hold to him, the person in time. It was guest 6614, and they finally came off of it. They didn't call in. They were just – see, when I open up my chat, I can see who's on my chat. And I just so happened opened it, and I saw him in there. The number is 347-677-1749. If anyone has any comments or questions, just call in at 347-677-1749. This is Say Your Piece. So, anyway, so I got to be in competition with you. I have to. I got to outdo you some kind of way. You know, I just got to, and I just don't understand. Name brand stuff. Think about that. And it goes all.
When we buy these $100 Nikes, these $200 Jordan, we buy these Jabot jeans. We buy these polo shirts. Jeans with holes in them. I don't know.
Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah,
you know,
all that stuff Yves Saint Laurent and all this.
Care. Sean John. This is what gets us. These people are all. Now, designers, I'm going to say this. Designers is a different story because they make their money off of designing clothes. That's what their business is. My problem is I have a problem with J-Lo. I got a problem with Britney Spears. I got problems with Beyonce. I got a problem with Jay-Z. I got a problem with Sean John. These are all people who already are making money. They don't even have to touch a clothing line, and they make money. That's the problem I have, and that's why I don't indulge. Now, wait a minute. Before I say that, because I'll be being hypocritical. I do own a baby fat purse, which is no big deal, which is that's part of Kimora Simmons, the Simmons crew.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I'll say this about her. She used to be a model, so she was in the fashion industry. So that's a different story. I put her separate because she's not a performer. She's not an entertainer. She's actually fashion. That's what she does. She used to be a model. When he met her, she was a model then. Even though she was underage and he married her, she was a model then. So that's her industry.
I thought she was one of those rap dancers.
No. No, she was actual model. Yeah, she was actually a model. That's how he met her at one of the fashion shows, I think. So she's in that industry. So that's where she belongs. She's not an entertainer. She's a fashion model, but she turned her modeling business actually into a fashion industry. I mean, a conglomerate. She corporation. She's different. But Beyonce, Jay-Z, Sean John, all the rest of them were in the entertainment business. And we spend thousands and thousands and millions of dollars buying their stuff. You look at Michael Jordan. People want Jordan sneakers. He was already rich. I would not buy his sneakers if somebody would said, hey, I'd give them to you for $5. I wouldn't buy them because you know what? That $5 is going to him. No, you got money.
Oh, no, $5, I can't get the no-name brand for $5.
No, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm not giving you no money. No, I'm not putting my money investing in the people that's already rich. That's what I'm saying. Why? You already have money. That's the problem I have. Support black people. Well, what are you putting back in the community? Support you. What are you putting back in the community? What? What?
You know, most of the time, those people that, if they do anything, you're not going to hear about it because they never told us what good any celebrity was doing back into the community. You hear about it every blue moon, but majority of the time, we hear about it once they've passed on or once they've done that. That's the only time you hear about it. You say, wow, they did all of that. Why nobody ever said anything? Because they're not into showing us some good of people. They always like to show the bad side of someone.
Yeah, that's true. But I still, and this is, I'm quite sure a lot of them do good. I'm quite sure, like, a lot of them have charities. I think Alicia Keys got. Now, Alicia Keys, when she's not performing, because she is a singer, she's in the theater industry. Her and a couple of people have got together, and they're literally in plays. They do Broadway plays. They have their own corporation. Now, I don't have to buy into that. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to spend my money into that. I think it's a good idea, but that's what she went into. Everybody else, it's like this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. These people are taught, these entertainers are taught to infiltrate everything about us, everything we touch. If you notice, they're in the drinks. They're in everything we touch. Now, everything we do in our life is centered around something that a entertainer has done. And we're not even paying attention to it because they're taught to do that.
Right.
They're trained to do. That's what they're supposed to do. We have to keep them constantly thinking about what y'all have. So we're going to get into the fashion industry. We're going to get into anything we can get into that's going to allow the consumer to continue to bring money into your pocket. And that's what they do. So that's why we buy.
We buy based on what we've seen, advertised, popularity.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how well it holds up.
Exactly.
It's based on popularity.
Yes, yes. And this Nicki Minaj thing, okay, what I saw that really blowed my mind, and I hate to say this is my show, I can say it on there. Anybody have any comments? 347-677-1749, 347-677-1749. This is Say Your Piece. As I was saying, what amazes me is she was on stage with a strap-on, on stage. Do you know what a strap-on is? Oh, Lord Jesus.
A strap-on. No?
You
Call
don't know
me.
What a strap-on is?
No. Strap-on, okay. No. Not by that name, I don't.
All right.
Maybe I call
That's
it something
That's what it's different. Called. Yeah, maybe. A strap-on is
not a G-string, huh?
No, this is not a G-string.
Okay.
A strap-on is a replica of a penis. But usually the woman wears it, has a little belt on it and everything, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It can,
I know what
okay.
that is.
Anyway, all right. Okay.
Never knew the name of it, but I knew what it is.
All right.
You
okay.
wore that out?
No, she was on stage performing with it on. They showed a picture of her.
What?
But our kids, see, this is what I would like to shake a lot of parents. It, just shake these young parents. You're walking around dressing like Nicki Minaj. You're teaching your daughter to dress like Nicki Minaj, and she's on stage with a strap on her.
Wow.
Okay. But it's us. We have no grip on what needs to be done with our families anymore. And the ones that, and the ones who are trying, they're choking. They're choking in the midst of all of this. I'm visualizing this. They're choking in the midst of the sea of all this crap that's going on. The families trying to hold on. You know, we got to keep our family together. We got to. No matter what's around us, we got to keep our. And it gets tiresome to them because they have no support system, because this family over here got all this drama going on. And they got their little daughters walking around with these little booty shorts on, and I'm trying to teach my daughter that she can't wear that kind of stuff. And then guess what? My daughter has to go to school with her. So, and you know, children have they have this peer pressure they go through when they're in that age, adolescents to teens to adults. They have peer pressure. So mom won't let me wear this. Mom won't let me wear lipstick. So the parents that's trying to keep their family together, they're hurting. And they're struggling trying to get out this sea of crap. And I'm saying like it is, it's a sea of crap. And it can be pressured on the family. It can be pressure.
Well, that to me that goes back to teaching what a woman should be, what a child should be, what a man should be, and what a boy should be. Because if you're raised up by MTV, BET,
mm-hmm.
and I'll say that because they're not positive for
mm-hmm.
the moment. It's negative.
Yes.
I think training us to be act outside of our natural self.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that we have to be reprogrammed. That's just the bottom line about it. Have to totally be reprogrammed, because if you're not reprogrammed, what it does is it keeps you in a dead state. That's what people have to understand, what a dead state is.
Mm-hmm.
A dead state. You're you're a robot to the system.
Yeah.
Robot to the system, and you're serving the power structure, and they're keeping us dumb down just enough where they can keep a finger on us, and we can keep the system going.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're so right. It's crazy. But, I mean, so we put all this together. We talk about crime and how they've made the decision that crime has fallen just a little bit. And we tied it into, we talked about community. We talked about marriage and how important marriage is. And if you decide that you no longer want to be in that marriage, what you should do or how you should do it, or just a suggestion, because we're no experts. We're just suggesting how to handle things. We don't, I mean, I would be crazy to say that, oh, yeah, this is the way you should do it. I'm not. I'm just saying it would make sense to do it this way.
Right.
We talked about how community ties into everything we just talked about, actually, in some kind of way, the education system, how we have to make sure that our children is getting that education that they need, and if they don't, what we should do to remedy that. Don't necessarily mean it's going to actually happen, but,
right.
You know, and how important it is for us to start supporting each other. Like you said, if I can't, I have to take my kids to the baseball game, I have to make sure dinner's on the table, I need to make sure all this stuff is done, at least let me take some sandwiches over to the community center at a meeting. Or at least let me take some drinks. Anybody need some water? I'll volunteer to bring the water. Because you know what? You've done something. And if that's your task that you want to do each and every time they have a meeting, and then you get, you know, if you can't make the meeting, tell somebody, give them a recorder to record the meeting. So it's something that you can listen to later on. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff
right.
that you can do to get that, you know, to donate and to be part of it. You don't necessarily have to be there to be part of something. We were talking, you were telling me when you went to the community meeting, Samtown Woodside community meeting, when we were on KTTP, and you said it was not a lot of people there.
No.
Okay. Again, community.
Handful, and we're talking about the largest, one of the largest areas in the city, populated areas. And that a small community.
You can't get them out to even talk about anything.
No, it was at a small community center, and I guarantee you, I could actually tell you 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It wasn't 10 people, there were 9 people there, including myself. And I don't even live in the community.
So you're telling me that nobody, well, I'm not saying nobody because those people are accounted for, but that you didn't get a large turnout?
No, not a large turnout at all.
Now, where do most of those kids go to school?
Public school.
Okay, so are they any of those kids, are those parents being affected by the charter school situation?
Oh, yeah, that whole area is. A lot of those schools that affected are in that area. Well, they have quite a few in that area. But you're talking about, I think there was probably one person there that probably had a child in school, one.
Okay. So you're saying none of the younger generation is coming out and being part of the community in which they live in?
Not at all, not at all,
okay.
Not at all. It's like it's a non-issue to them, and that's what we were talking about. We have to get in there. We have to re-educate them. We only act if we get scared. I think somebody's gonna take something away from us. But if you talked about dropping something,
then they come in droves.
They will come in droves.
Ain't
talking
that
about
amazing.
Taking basketball from the local high school, they would come in droves. And I'm serious. They'll come out for that. And it's not wrong with that,
wow.
But what we're saying is things that are actually more important than basketball, they should be coming out for. But
exactly.
When they that, if you talk about taking basketball from one of the local high schools here that's been synonymous for winning state championship, they would come out in droves. But when they took the honors program from it, when they took the gifted program from the school, when they took the welding program from the school, or the auto mechanics program from the school, nobody said a word. Nobody.
Oh my God.
One word. And people used to be able to come out. I know a guy right now to this day, back when I graduated, because he went to auto mechanics at the school, he came out and started his own business as a mechanic.
Man.
He runs it to this day. So that's been since 83.
So,
he came out in 83. I came out a year afterwards. And to this day, he's the only black-owned gas station in Alexandria. And very few our people support him.
I believe it.
Only black-owned gas station in Alexandria. And he graduated in 83, and he went into business for 783 and been the same place ever since.
Ain't that something? Isn't that something? That is amazing.
We have one
that's
black owned gas station in Alexandria. And he has good competitive gas prices.
Now, where is
really
he located?
He's located on Bolton and. Is that Masonic? Oh, what is that? Bolton and Bringhurst. Right there across from that Shell gas station. That's Rodney's. Rodney's Gas. Not Texas, Rodney's.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that something?
I think it's I'm not mistaken, I bet it's probably the only black-owned gas station in Rapides Parish. And for those folks who may be listening outside of Louisiana, a parish is the same as a county.
Yeah,
Louisiana,
exactly.
All their parishes.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's amazing. And still has very little gas business, but has probably some of the best gas prices in town. At some point, he's cheaper than all of the big boys.
Man.
I know I go gas and I watch his prices.
Well, now, and I'm not being racist, I mean, if they're not owned by, not even whites own a lot of the gas stations now.
No, they don't. Right.
No, they're not owned by, not even whites. Arabians, I mean, Indians and India-type people own them, and Arabian-type people are the ones who own them now.
Yeah.
You know? Not only do they own that, they own the hotels. How many African-American-owned hotels here? It's one, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. One on hotel, one on African-American gas station, one on African-American newspaper,
in this big old place.
We have no mid-sized grocery stores. We only have the little, mom and pops.
Well, you know what? Save-A-Lot, believe it or not, I get the BE, which is Black Enterprise. Save-A-Lot is owned by African-American because the CEO, as a matter of fact, is an African-American woman who's over Save-A-Lot. You know Save-A-Lot on Bolton?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's owned by, she's a CEO.
Now,
is
she just CEO or is actually owned by?
Hold up.
African-American.
I got my magazine in here. Hold up. I'm sorry.
We have a, you know, it's so many things that we could go back in our own different communities and support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes
definitely.
You don't know. I ask when I call. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I used to have things like if I call the car lot, I tell them, I like the. Do you have a? You have any black salespeople? I ask.
Mm-hmm.
Black salespeople? Yeah.
Yeah. Her name.
Third, they hesitate because they say that's a weird question, but I ask. They get commissions.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy
sorry.
One, and I don't own one of my people don't own a car lot. The least thing I do is go to a black salesperson. The least I could do.
Well, this is. I apologize. I didn't give you the correct information. Her name is Rachel A. Burst. She's a minority business development manager. And the question they asked was, how does Save-A-Lot help entrepreneurs enter the grocery business? She said we operate more than 1,300 stores in all types of neighborhoods, urban, rural, and suburban. Save-A-Lot delivers terrific savings up to 40% compared to conventional grocery stores for its customers. So my thing is Save-A-Lot offers entrepreneurs the ability to compete effectively in today's ever-changing grocery industry with a proven hard discount, carefully selected assortment business model. I guess she's the one who's over that. She said that to encourage new development, Save-A-Lot is offering a financial incentive program to new existing licenses under specific terms and qualifications. Eligible licenses can qualify for a minimum of $200,000 toward cash back or rebate options. The response to this incentive offer has been tremendous. So people are actually starting the grocery store, I mean, getting with them because it's franchised, Save-A-Lot food stores.
Wow.
I mean,
so, it just shows that what we have to do is come together as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And coming together, we got to go with family first.
Yep.
Have to get that family closely knit, work together on keeping that family knit. Blossom
mm-hmm.
it off to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Blossom off to the community, educating the community.
Mm-hmm.
Starting, we could start at home, going from the churches to community groups to other civic
yep.
and social organizations.
Yep.
There's so many different things they can do as far as hitting the airwaves, different anything that's at your disposal. Then you look at going to support your own first.
Yeah.
It just all
that's
I look
true.
At is just take it as your regular family. Take it as your son,
mm-hmm.
your daughter, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your sister, your brother, that if you're going to support them, then I should do the same thing to my fellow brother or sister that's in business because they're dependent on us first. Look at all our grocery stores.
Yeah.
Look at our black-owned bank. We're down to a little bit of nothing. How much would it hurt us? Because most banks in most cases are very close in competition with each other.
What would it hurt us to put our money in a black bank if we have one in our place?
Do we have one here?
No, we don't have one here, but they do have one in I know New Orleans and Baton Rouge and other states have them.
Other
states
do.
They told me that there is a subsidiary of one of the Whitney Bank. I think they're still black owned, but it may be here. I'm not sure. I have to find out. But it's so many different avenues that we do have that we have black owned that we just don't support. When we need a lawyer, sometimes we go, the first thing we see on TV, those, you know, TV lawyers, we go run into them instead of seeking out one of our qualified black lawyers. You know, when we go to get a doctor.
Well, we want a black lawyer that's not being bought.
Pardon?
You got to keep that. You have to keep that in mind, that you don't want one that's been bought by the political rim, in other words, or the governing
party.
Right,
right. That's true. That's true. I mean, you have we definitely got to have, you know, something there. So, you know, I'm pretty sure if you talk to a few people, some people that heard, some that do good work. But we're so used to running to everybody else, thinking that ice is colder, instead of looking within our own. And we just have to come out of that mindset. We just got to do it.
Yeah.
Come from a plumber to a dentist to a plumber, jumping back down to a mechanic.
Yeah,
whatever case may be, you need to find. What we have in our area, we say, well, we don't have this, we don't have whatever you have in your area. Look to them first. And then look around, not only when you got to go beyond that, check and see how many else they have employed at that place. Then you find out, should I be doing business with them? How many else have employed there? You know,
if
they don't have many of us employed there, none of us employed there, we need to be looking for a place that has more of us employed.
But see, you know what we could do? We can start a campaign. I mean, whether people follow behind the campaign or not, and we'll find our results out with that. We get a group of people. We don't have to be part of any organization to do that, because we have a right as private citizens to start campaigning. If you don't support or if you don't have any African Americans working in your facility, then there's no need for me to give my money to you.
Right, right.
You know, and we don't do that. We don't care about that.
And
you
know,
we don't care.
I'm just thinking about some that I know that don't have any working.
Yeah.
Have
period.
Any work. Yeah.
You can't find them nowhere, but you say we lazy and don't want to work, but you don't want to hire.
True.
You know. So we're down to 2 minutes and 55 seconds. Next week, let's get down to what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, which is June the 30th, we'll be talking about, are we exercising our rights to make sure we have a future? So keep that in mind. You understand what that says?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the week after that, July 7th, we'll be interviewing Dr. Randy Short and Dr. Malcolm X Shabazz.
Okay.
So that's going to be interesting.
I'm interested.
That's,
very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So Dr. Short, we've had him on the on our regular radio show on KTP, Keep You Connected, and he is a very, very knowledgeable, intelligent person, and he has a great love for the African-American community and really brings up some great, interesting facts. And I would tell people that you need to make sure you have your pad and paper ready, because he's going to bring some interesting facts out that would just blow your mind. Yeah, it would just blow my mind. Real good guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's part of the, I think they changed the name to, what is the name of the group now called? Judicial Justice Movement.
Yes.
Oh, Judicial Justice Movement. And he's there, have a committee set up. It's a committee, and their thing is to make sure that justice is done when it comes to the judicial justice system, because we as black people get such a bad rap, you know.
Yeah.
Such a bad.
Well, we're down to 60 seconds. Mr. Brian Coleman, I want to say thank you again for being my co-host.
Yep.
I want to thank anybody who was listening in at the time. Sorry, I'm not always in the chat room, so I don't see who's listening. I apologize if I missed you. From now on, that's the first thing I'll do, is open up my chat room over here. In the meantime, you guys have a safe weekend. We'll see you next Saturday. And thank you for listening to Say Your Peace. See you later. Bye-bye.
Next time. Peace.
Peace.